So the psalmist says we are wonderfully and fearfully made. I love that passage if you think about it, right? We're wonderfully and fearfully made. God, in his infinite wisdom, inside our mother's womb, knit us together. He put us together just the way we are. I don't know what he was thinking when he made me, but hey, that's another question for another time. But just the way we are, with our strengths and our weaknesses, with our flaws and our abilities, he put us together just the way we are to be wonderfully and fearfully made. Fearfully in the sense of not being afraid of God, but fearfully in the sense of being in awe, that we can stand back and see who we are in the presence of God. And that he's given us the chance to see once again who we are in the presence of God through the holy waters of his baptism as his children, who have been restored and redeemed and made together again to be his people, knit back together after sin destroyed us, knit back together in grace and love and mercy. St. Paul wonderfully says in Ephesians chapter 2, for we are God's workmanship, his craftsmanship, his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works he prepared in advance for us to do. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't create us to do good works so that we could go to heaven. He didn't create us so that we could be robots to do good works for him. No, he created us in advance to do the good works he prepared for us to do by wonderfully knitting us together to be his witnesses in this world, to share the love of Jesus in this world, to be his presence, his hands, his feet, his mouth, his voice in this world around us, to show the world who Jesus really is. There is no doubt about it. When it comes to proper stewardship, proper life, one thing becomes very clear, and I want you to hear this. It's more than just money. Money is at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to stewardship for God. Because what God wants is your entire life, your very being, your hands, your mouth, your feet, your soul, your mind, your voice. That's what he wants. And when those things come together miraculously as being wonderfully and fearfully made through the power of the Holy Spirit, working that which we call sanctification, the process of becoming holy in our lives, then everything we have, including the money aspect, naturally flows from us, from a heart that is grateful to God because of what he's done for us. But notice this. If all of those things are not in line, if we are not living the life that God has called us to live, if we're not being his hands, his mouth, his feet in this world, if we're not using our voices and our hearts to praise him, if we're not living a life of forgiveness and love, if we're not living a life of letting go and loving people for who they are, even in their mistakes, then God not only doesn't want our service, but he doesn't want our money also. I have told people before in churches, if you're not living the life that God has called you to give, don't put a check in the offering plate. Because God wants a joyful giver, a free giver, a giver without connections, a giver without bitterness, a giver who first gives freely of their own life and their own self to the glory of God, for we are wonderfully and fearfully made. You know, I saw something on Facebook yesterday, and I took it off because I thought maybe it wasn't right, but I started thinking about it more, and it was written by a guy named Richard Rohr, who is a Lutheran, actually. And this is what he said. He said that you can't worship God if you aren't loving other people, if you're holding on to bitterness and grudges. Now, at first, that sounds very legalistic, right? But if you go back to what Jesus said when he talked about worshiping God, what does he say? A house that is divided will what? It will fall. It will fall. And then he goes on to talk about worshiping God and money, right? But we translate it as God and money. The Greek actually says mammon, and mammon is anything that is worldly. Mammon is anything that is worldly, not just money, but our own desires, our own wishes, our own hurts, our own self. And if you look around the world today, there's a lot of people who worship themselves, isn't there? And we're all guilty of that. I do that. I do that all the time. I do what I want to do. I do what I think is best for me and whatever. You know, we all do that. We get so stuck on ourselves being egocentric because of our sinful natures that we can't serve both God and ourselves. We can't serve both God and money. We can't serve God if we're truly not loving other people. Now, that sounds legalistic, but here's the reality. If we're living an unrepentant life, a life that isn't seeking God, a life that's not turning back to God, we aren't worshiping God. A repentant life is one that turns our life back over to God. It turns to face the cross and sees Jesus right there like the prodigal son. Remember, the father ran to get the prodigal son, and before the prodigal son could say anything, he wrapped his arms around him and said, I love you and I forgive you, before he could even say anything. That's how God is with us in repentance, right? Then our life is able to live that knitting together, that workmanship that God has created us to be, and to live the life of true worship. But we must understand in this world that stewardship properly begins with the management of our own lives, our own hearts, our own souls, our own voices. And first and foremost, loving God and loving other people. We are God's creation, pieced together in our bodies to live for Him. Did you ever think about that? He pieced us together to live for Him. And more than that, He pieced us together to be His presence. We are definitely His hands, His mouth, His feet, His voice, His life in this world. That's what we are. When Jesus called us to be His witnesses, that's what He gave to us. When Jesus left and He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit from on high, that He gives to you in your baptism, that He gives to you in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that He gives to you in the power of the Word, the whole reason He does that is to make you the presence of Jesus in this world. So that when people see you, they see Jesus. That is the church alive. That is truly stewardship. St. Augustine has a great quote I want to share with you. And this is from St. Augustine. He says this, and I think it's on the screen. He says, do not grieve or complain that you were born in a time when you can no longer see God in the flesh. He did not, in fact, take this privilege away from you. As he says, whatever you have done to the least of my brothers, you did to me. Think about that for a second. What is St. Augustine saying? That in serving each other, that in serving the world around us, that in serving those who don't know Christ, that in reaching out to the poor, the broken, the mentally ill, those who are in prison, we are serving Jesus Himself. Why is that the case? Because we are all God's children. All God's children, holy and dearly loved. Even the unbeliever, He still formed them together and knit them together in the mother's womb. Do you think He stops loving the unbeliever? No, because Jesus says in John chapter 3:16 that He died for the whole world. In John 3:17, He says He came to save the whole world, not to condemn the whole world. In fact, in John 3:18, He says this, if somebody stands condemned, it's because they didn't believe, not because God stopped loving them. So the reality is, when we come to a proper understanding of what Christianity really is, when we come to a proper understanding of what this faith is that God has really given us, we begin to be mature in our Christian faith and in the life of stewardship, we suddenly realize that the life of Christianity is being kind, loving, compassionate, non-judgmental, filled with love for each and every person in the world around us. Those who have hurt us, those who have wronged us, those who don't know Jesus, because Jesus is the same way to each and every person in the world around us. For God already loved the world. He's called you and me to be His presence, His hands, His mouth, His feet, His voice, His life in this world, so that those who don't know yet that they're loved can experience the power of His love. And for those who have fallen downtrodden in our Christian brotherhood, in our Christian fellowship, in our church, those who are hurt and broken can experience the love of God and with the gifts we've given so that we can build them up and hold them up so that they can be healed and restored. But all too often today, if you really look at a lot of Christian churches, the opposite happens. It's so much easier to use the gifts and abilities that God have us to ignore each other, to pretend like there aren't problems, and to fail in building each other up. But one of the greatest factors of stewardship is truly using our lives to love each other no matter what, to forgive each other no matter what, to build one another up as Christ has built us up, to remind each other that we are wonderfully and fearfully made as God's children, pointing us to the identity that we are God's children, and because of that, God's love will remain upon us for all eternity. It is through us, through you and me, through that the world sees and experiences Jesus. This is what St. Augustine says. St. Paul says, how can they not know if there's no one to show them? It is through you and I, through the use of the gifts and the abilities that God has given to us, the workmanship he created us to be, that the world around us comes to know Jesus. And perhaps this is the greatest act of stewardship. Because the kingdom grows as you and I share the love of Jesus with each other and with our world. In our parable today from St. Matthew, it is very easy for us to see this story from Jesus and to think it's all about money. I mean, you hear it, and that's really what it seems like it's all about. But in fact, it's much deeper than that. It's so much richer than we can truly think or imagine. Because here's the reality. When God sent us into this world, he sends us with gifts and abilities. And when he said, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when he said, go out and be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, to Judea and Samaria, to the whole world, he literally handed us his kingdom. He literally handed you gifts and abilities that truly, uniquely make you you. Some of you have the gift of craftsmanship. If you see me with a hammer, run and call 911. Some of you have the gift of gab. That would be me. Some of you have the gift of wisdom and knowledge. That would not be me. Some of you have the gift of compassion and love. Some of you have the gift of hospitality. The parable today is very clear. If we take those gifts and we bury them, and we fail to use them for the kingdom of heaven, we have totally squandered the gifts that God has given us. We've totally taken what he has called wonderfully and fearfully made and buried it away and said, God, you don't know what you're doing. And we made ourselves our own gods. And see, that's what stewardship is really about. Stewardship is about coming to the place of humbleness and humility, which we talked about last week, and saying, God, all that I have, all that I am, all my being, inside and out, totally belongs to you. Everything I am and everything I have totally belongs to you. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, who has created us and recreated us in Jesus through his death and resurrection and baptism, that we are redeemed, saved, and empowered to be the people of Jesus. Let me tell you this verse. We are going to fail miserably. We will fall flat on our faces. St. Paul reminds us that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and that includes me. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all turn our backs on God. But the kind of God we have is a God of love and forgiveness. The kind of God who says, you know what? Even though you have fallen short of my glory and grace is bigger than your falling short. My glory and grace is bigger than any sin you have committed. My glory and grace is bigger than any wrongdoing you've done in your life. My glory and grace will work in your life to remove your sins as far as the east is from the west and continue through the process of my Holy Spirit to work in your lives daily through word and sacrifice. sacrament to strengthen you, to build you up, to form you into the presence of Jesus in this world, because I will never give up on you. I will never turn my back on you. Nothing will ever separate you and me. Nothing will ever take my love away from you, because that's the kind of God I am. Here's the reality. We will fail. Martin Luther says, if you're going to sin, sin boldly. Not what he's saying is not go out and do a big sin to wait, you know. I used to tell people he said that because he said, why waste a sin? If you're going to do a sin, do a big one, right? That's not what he says, really, right? What he says is, have confidence. Your sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Nothing will separate you from the Lord. You are saved. He also says this. Admit you are a failure. Admit you are a sinner. Because when you do, you have the need for a big Savior. And that big Savior has already destroyed sin, death, and the devil and has given you eternal life and forgiveness in His name. And the reality is, this is the kind of God we have. When, this is sanctification, right? We remove the blockages that we form at the foot of the cross we talked about last week. When we truly surrender at the foot of the cross and say, God, remove my bitterness, my grudges, my fears, my worries, my doubts. I surrender them to you. We truly become the presence of that gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. The gospel that forgives, the gospel that recreates, the gospel that restores, the gospel that says to you today, your sins are forgiven. Jesus loves you. You are going to heaven. No matter what your past, no matter what your present, or no matter what your future looks like, Jesus says, I hold you in the palm of my hand because you are wonderfully and fearfully made, and because I've claimed you to be my child. Because I have died and risen for you, you will live forever with me in eternity. Hear those words today. Soak them in. Make them part of your life, because that is the truth. That is how much you are loved by Jesus. And when it comes to stewardship, that's how much Jesus asks us to truly love and serve one another and the world around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.